Are you guys excited to be here? Even if you're a little sleepy? It's an exciting day as we make our way toward Christmas. Some of you have probably heard me talk about light. I am 110% a creature of light. I love light. I love daylight and stars and Christmas lights and lamps and candlelight and night lights and planetariums with little starlights. As a matter of fact, I have this for you. On December 21st at 2:24 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, in the areas north of the equator, there begins to be more daylight in the day. Minute by minute, the moments of daylight each day increase until summer. I love summer. Our son Thomas and I, we live for December 21st. Once it starts getting dark, we count, obviously, the days to December 21st. We secretly call it the first day of real spring. Agreed. A few days ago, you might have seen this on my Facebook page. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. It's from Isaiah 9, verse 2. And I have to admit that it catches my heart and takes my breath away a little every time I read that because of the repercussions of light. Not just my physical need for light, not because light is beautiful to look at, but because of the spiritual repercussions of light. This passage, the one in Isaiah, is one of the prophecies that Tim talked back on December 2nd, the first Sunday in Advent. And the prophets talked and talked and talked and talked some more about the one to come, the light that would be seen by those people in that darkness. Those people were the Israelites in Judah. Isaiah was a prophet in Judah 700 years before Christ. That's a long time. That's like 3 millennia ago. And during that time that he was prophesying, Judah had seen really prolonged and very hard times. As a matter of fact, at the point of his prophecies, there was a good chance that the nation would once again just be obliterated. And Isaiah wanted to talk about the Messiah. He wanted to talk about Jesus, the light of the world. This light does not change. It does not change. According to a commentator, the prophet Isaiah intentionally indicates in verse 1 of chapter 9 that the time of disgrace would extend over a lengthened period in which the same fate would occur again and again and again. The time of glorification, on the other hand, would occur only once, but it would continue, I love this word, in perpetuity. Do you love that word? Perpetuity. It means it goes on forever. That's what that means. Forever and ever. It would continue forever and ever without change. This light the people in verse 2 would experience would only occur once, but once is enough because this light would continue forever and ever and ever without change. The Bible is full of references about light. Last week, Noel read a bit of the creation narrative to us. And the first verses of the Bible, the very first verses, speak of light. The very first thing God calls into being is light. And he, Scripture says, saw that light was good. This light that God created by definition contrasts with darkness. It's brightness. It's the light of the face of a person who knows the glory of God on Jesus' face. And it gives you a happy attitude. Scripture says by using that word, when the writers use that word, it indicates that it gives you a happy attitude because it results in relief from trouble. The psalmists talk about this light. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is our light and our salvation. There's no one to fear." Psalm 53:16, David, and by extension we, it says, can walk before God in the light of life. And let's look at Psalm 97, 11, and 12, and we'll read them together from the screen. You ready? Light shines on the righteous, and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. In Psalm 139, David is marveling at the greatness of God as it applies directly to him and every individual ever. God has always known each individual eternally. Take that in for a second. God has always known you before you were physically here or in your mom's tummy. He knew you. Now, that can be a scary thought, because we can think that it's a "I'm watching you all the time, and I'm going to get ya" kind of way. But he's watching us in a kind father kind of way, more of an "I'm watching out for you" way. In Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2, or 11 and 12, I'm sorry, David writes, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be as dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you." No darkness can hide us from the sight of our Lord. Last week, Noel shared with us the faith of some Old Testament women who lived and walked in the darkness that Isaiah is talking about, with only this glimmer of the light of our Lord, and yet they walked in hope. The light the people in Isaiah 9, verse 2 experience only comes once, but will continue forever without change. The light does not change. Well, that was a really, really, really long time ago. So what happens now in Scripture and for us? Let's take a look at truth number two, and that is the light came to us. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 2, and they really want you to do that. So if you have an electronic device or you want to pull one out from under a seat, take a minute, Luke. So two-thirds of the way over, there's the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's turn to Luke. And I want you to put your finger in there, please. Excuse me, because we're going to fast forward about 1,000 years after Isaiah. We're going to talk about the Christmas narrative. And so many things are filled with light in and around that narrative. I have my Bible open to Luke 2. So I'm going to tell you to do something that you'll probably never hear me say again. And that is, we're going to skim over chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. You kind of have to you can read this for yourself word by word later. But what we're talking about now is what the beginning of this beginning of the light coming to be with us looks like. So in chapter 5, Gabriel, the one who stands in the presence of God, shows up, and I think all of us, and especially the people he showed up to, or the person he showed up to, has a good idea that things are going to head in a direction that they hadn't been going recently. I think we call that a sea change now. So Gabriel came to visit John the Baptist's dad, and there was a sea change. Gabriel had come to announce the birth not of Jesus, but of John the Baptist, who would, Scripture tells us, prepare the way of the Lord. Zechariah and Elizabeth, John's parents, were old, and Elizabeth was barren. But things are set in motion, and it gets better. 6 months later, Gabriel comes to Mary, Elizabeth's cousin, to let her know she is the chosen one. She will, Scripture says, give birth to a son who whose name was to be Jesus, even though she was a virgin. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadowed her, and the Holy One to be born was to be called the Son of God. He would be the Son of God. Well, Mary was already engaged to Joseph. We know from the Gospel of Matthew that the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, chapter 1, and starting in verse 24, we read that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. Back to Luke. At which point in this narrative, a baby is indeed born to Zechariah and Elizabeth, to his elderly parents, and they name him John, just like the angel told his father. All kinds of people start praising God and prophesying. Things are changing in a huge way for everyone forever. Not paying any attention to any of that, Caesar decides everyone has to go back to their town of origin for a census, which means Joseph has to leave Nazareth with his wife Mary, who is definitely pregnant by now, to go to Bethlehem in Judea, which is what we talked about just a minute ago, just as that prophecy predicts. And a little while after their arrival in Bethlehem, it's time for the baby to be born. We know they found a sheltered place, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. But there's more. So now we're at chapter 2, and we start down in verse 8, where the shepherds are out in the fields watching over their flocks at night when an angel of the Lord appears to them. He tells them that very day in Bethlehem, the Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. It is good news of great joy. Suddenly, the whole heavenly host shows up and begin praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has told us about." So they hurry off and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word about their experience. They didn't mince on home and talk among themselves. They talked about it to everybody. Everybody was on the move going to their place of origin, and the shepherds were telling everybody about what they had seen and heard. And then they went home to their sheep, glorifying and praising God for all the things he had said to them that they had seen, just as they'd been told. Now this, friends, is where we usually end our story. We love that story. Do you love that story? I love that narrative. I caught myself when I was typing this up with a grin on my face. I'd stop what I was doing and my face would be smiling. My cheeks get tired of smiling. They hurt just when I hear about it or think about it. But there's still more. So follow along down in verse 21. If you need to speak out as you read, that's fine. Do what you need to do so you can follow along. Verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit that day, he went to the temple courts. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law and was required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon had seen the salvation that God had prepared for the nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, that's most of us sitting in this room, and the glory of your people Israel. As my friend would say, boom. The light has come. The light has come to us, and he made his dwelling with us. Emmanuel, God with us. So here's a question. Does the light still shine? Yes, it does, is the answer. Yes, it does. The light is still shining. The Apostle John said it this way. In chapter 1, the Gospel of John, John writes that the Word, who's Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus was the true light, John says, that gives light to every man. So in verse 10, John writes, he's talking about Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to those which were his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who receive him and those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Hang on to that thought for a minute. The Word, Jesus, the light, became flesh and made his dwelling. The word means tabernacled. He pitched his tent among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Later in chapter 8, Jesus is teaching in the temples, and when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Does the light still shine? Yes, it does. It's Jesus. And Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Here's the question. Does the light still shine? Yes, it does. It is us. It is you. It is me. Remember John chapter 1? John writes that if we receive him and if we believe in his name, he gave us the right to become a child of God. Not children born of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Now, there may be people here today that are not yet children of God. And in order to receive Jesus by believing in his name to find eternal life with God, you can pray right where you're sitting. Tell God that you need him. Tell him that you're sorry for the times you've wronged him and others, that you want to turn from that life of wrongdoing and begin your new life with him. Tell him you want him to be your savior and the Lord of your life. Give every moment of your life to him. You can become, if you aren't already, a child of God, because God will do it. We are children of God. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, Jesus is teaching the disciples, and Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." I think we know that. We live in the Pacific Northwest. Our power goes out. Your flashlight is going to light your kitchen or your restroom much better if you set it up here than down here is it not? Do you put a basket over it when you're trying to see your way down the hall? No. So this is really obvious stuff, even for us today, that we are a light, we are the light of the world. A town up on a hill, it's hard to hide it. If you've ever been to any ancient or even older civilizations, the towns are always built up on a hill. So my advice is, before you go somewhere and want to see the history of a country, you work out a lot. Because everything is on the top of that hill. They built it up there so they could see what was coming, right? But, and it's supposed to be hard to get to. So it is. And you know where it is. You've looked and looked and looked and looked for this particular castle, and most of them are up on a hill. There's a few down by the river, but most of them are up on a hill. And Jesus says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. We can't be hidden. And we don't put our light under our basket. We put it on the stand, and it gives light to everybody in the house. And when we do that in that same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before others. Why? So they can see. Yes, so they can see your good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven, not us. Our Father in heaven. So we put our light up and we show people good deeds. And they are like, wow, where'd that come from? And we can talk about that. And we can bring glory to God, our Father in heaven. As his followers, as Jesus' followers and his disciples, we can shine the light of Christ by our words and by our actions. If we, you or I, have received him, if we have believed in his name, then we are children of God. And in some ways, when you're somebody's child, and I have biological children and adopted children, and strangely, they look like me. How did that happen? And if we're children of God, we're going to look like him in the ways that we can. John says in 1 John, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We can be light as God is light. So does the light still shine? Yes, it does. We are the light. Does it seem darker to you? Does it seem darker to you? Jeff and I, sorry, honey, I didn't tell you, but I won't say anything that we'll regret. It's okay. Jeff and I downsized recently. That's a nice term. It's such a nice term. We're going to downsize. Holy shamoly. We sold our home, and we moved it for a little while into a new, much smaller place, honestly, so that we can hang out and take a good look at life with Jesus and how we're intersecting with him. We've been talking about it a long, long time. And the Lord finally made the timing apparent to us. And I'm sure he was always telling us, I just can't always hear what he's saying. So we moved. We lived 30 years in our home, which is not far from here or far from where we moved. And after 30 years, you tend to forget all the stuff that goes with moving. When we were first married and even on into our children's childhoods, we moved every couple of years. Jeff worked for a company that was owned by the railroad, and they moved us like they moved the railroad workers. So we would clean out and take off. Well, and then the Lord dropped us off in Olympia, and we didn't do that. If you've lived in your house a really long time, I highly recommend you pretend you're moving. Or move. Just move down the street. Just move. Soon. We began our journey of cleaning out and packing and changing addresses, and we have like a million businesses we're associated with and a lot of friends from places we've been and here in Olympia. And if you stay somewhere 30 years, that occurs. I am always amazed, or I am still being amazed, by how much paperwork is involved in moving in our paperless society. every day I'm filling out forms. I was helping a friend fill out forms the other day, and I said to this person that was in the office with me, I think my new career is going to be medical form filler outer. And he said, do you think there's a future in that? And I'm thinking, oh yeah, forever, every day, all of us are filling out forms. And ours came all together at the same time we are moving. One of the utilities that we change is internet, phone, and cable. And it comes from a company that rhymes with infinity. After we were so pleased with our new deal, because you get a good deal when you move, we plugged in and connected and changed settings, and off we went. We have our new shiny remote. Ooh, yeah, the other one was pretty gross after that many years. We didn't have the same one the whole time. But we have this new shiny remote, and I wish I could say, do my dishes, or finish my Christmas shopping. But no. But I can tell it, find Dr. Pohl, or find free movies. There are thousands of free movies. Thousands. I'm not kidding, 4,369. We still haven't paged through most, you know, all the movies. There are so many free movies, and the vast majority of them, if they're not from early TV, are dark. Why is that, do you think? Well, in literature, it's a well-known fact that apocalyptic writing, which is what that is that you see on TV, comes around when people and the world seem unsure and unsettled. This isn't the first time apocalyptic information has been out there. There's a book called The Revelation in the back of the Bible, and it is apocalyptic writing. It's not news. The norms don't seem to be the norms anymore. And the writers write apocalyptic stories so they can manipulate the outcomes. The end of the book or the end of the movie, the writer's in charge of that. And it helps them feel in control. And I believe that's what's going on in the video media world as well. It's everywhere. And it's easy for us to become desensitized to all that negative information that comes at us all the time. In our eyes, in our ears, as we drive down the road, in our homes, all kinds of negative information. And after a while, we start to think, well, this is just the way things are these days. So here's a thought. If it seems darker, what should we do? What?
Pray.
Pray, that's a good one. Turn up the light. Did you ever own, I think they're called rheostats or dimmers. Did you ever own one of those? And when you it gets darker outside because it's raining and pouring instead of just dark, you can take that thing and you can go, right? Yes, I love those things. If it seems darker, turn up the light. How do we do that? There's a few ideas in Scripture. Ephesians 5 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such thing, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. This is a hard subject. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, and now you are light. Live as children of the light. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus. It would seem that in order to turn up the light, we don't fill our minds with empty words. We don't partner with the darkness. We live as children of the light. We let God shine his light in our hearts. So we have the knowledge of God's glory, and our heart shines out of the darkness. There is actually a list of essential characteristics of being darkness and being light. We know them. They're in Galatians 5. beginning in verse 1. Verse 19, I'm sorry. So I'm going to read the first list. Okay? I'm going to read it right here in Hing Creek on this day. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, splitting things apart and arguing, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. God says, Paul says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there are some things on that list your eyeballs went, what? I would never do that. But there are some things on that list that we do all the time. I do some of them. They're so easy to fall into, aren't they? Discord, jealousy, being outraged, being too ambitious, being dissension, being dissentful, that's not a word, but causing dissension, pulling things apart, factions. I live in this camp, and I live in that camp. Paul said, I am really glad I haven't ever baptized anybody because y'all are all in, got your stuff together in whichever apostle baptized you. It's not that. You can't break up in factions over who baptized you. You were baptized. It's Jesus. It's the unity of the Holy Spirit. It's easy for us to fall off into these characteristics. And God says that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Yikes. That's a hard saying. So my advice is, let's not be those things. So let's read the next list, the list of living in the light, of being the light. Let's read it together. It's going to be on the screen. This is Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Be that list. And I know what you're thinking. I think the same things. I'm thinking, no way. There's no way I can do that. I am already stressed out completely. You don't understand what I'm going through right now. Put that list in. My family, my job, Christmas makes me crazy. And you know what? You're absolutely right. You can't do that list. You can't do those things, but the Holy Spirit can empower you to be those things. Be loving and joyful and peaceful and patient. Be kind and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled. Out of the richness of your relationship with Jesus, it's Him. Let those characteristics flow out of you. And here's what we want to do. We want to be them everywhere. We want to be them all the time. Be light. At home and at work and at the doctor's office or at the preschool or the high school. When we wait in line to the person who's helping us after we've waited in line or online. Be them all the time, everywhere. When you're about to flip into darkness, Sherry Morgan, take a breath and slow down just a little. See that person as a person God loves just as much as He loves you. They may not yet be a child of God in that sense, but He wants them to be. He is after them. When you do that, when you've had your breath and you've stepped back half a step and you've been that lovely list, watch what happens. Stuff happens immediately, if not sooner. Watch what happens. You're gonna feel different. Watch the face of the person that you've been light with. They're not expecting it. They're expecting to be yelled at and tension to come up to the desk. They're expecting dissension. They're expecting hatred. They're expecting all those things. And when you walk up and you are light, their face changes. At first, they don't know what to do. Well, how do I react to someone who's kind and patient? But as they figure that out, their demeanor changes. And before you're finished with whomever it is, their whole being has changed. You can see it on their face. And you can smile and say, have a great day, and really mean it. And their day is better because the light of Christ has touched their day. Watch and see what happens. Watch what God will do in and through you. It's awful quiet out there. You have to trust me on this one. I used to be able to clear the room with my anger. A sharp tongue. I think there are other people in the room that could identify with that. But God has changed me. And I'm not always perfectly good at it, and sometimes my little rageous temper is in private. And poor Jeff hears a lot of it. But generally speaking, when I let the Spirit empower me, I can be a different way. I need to be them, not do them, be them. The Christian and Missionary Alliance website says this: God's redemptive plan is to shine his light into the hearts and lives of those trapped in spiritual darkness. That's everybody out there who's not a child of God. They're trapped in spiritual darkness. He chose us. He chose us to illuminate the world, and his instructions are clear. Ephesians again, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Equip yourself and others to be light in your home, in your neighborhood, and all the nations. So does the light still shine? Yeah, yes it does. The light is Jesus. The light is the glory of God within us. Even though it seems darker, the light does not change. The light is not decreasing. So let's turn up the light.
I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
You are like a light for the whole world. Make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven.
For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.
Until we realize we are points of light, the light within us remains hidden.
And until we step into the dark places, the world around us will remain dim.
Once we choose to unleash it, the radiance will be blinding, and the darkness will have no place to hide.
For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord.
But now you are light
in the Lord. But now you are light in the Lord.
You are light in the Lord.
Live as children of light.
Acts 13:47. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Kind Father, we have a lot to think about. There are so many reasons to be cranky. And our society tells us that in some ways that's okay because that's who we are. But my Father, that is not true. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. We are not that way. We are your children. By faith in Jesus, your Spirit, your mighty Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives within us. And Lord, we thank you that we can bring that to bear on every facet of our being. We pray, Lord, even today, you would give us an opportunity to be light, to be kind and peaceful and joyous, and that whole lovely list, so that people can see and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, that he took our place on the cross and paid for our sin. We thank you that he rose again in glorious light. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given that to us. What a great gift Jesus is. Thank you for helping us remember at Christmas time. Lord, we give you this day and all the days of our lives. We pray that we will be light, that we will cause you to have great glory. We ask these things in Jesus' holy, mighty name. Amen. So I want you to be, walk, and live as children of light this week. Unleash that light. Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.